If you need help selling and supporting Office 365, AppRiver can help. They've got the most experienced support team in the business. Call them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and speak to someone live here in the U.S. Try them free for 30 days by visiting appriver.com/podnutspro. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and I am joined once again by my good friend, Mr. Matt Rainey. Matt, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty well right now.
Pretty well?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's actually better than the last time we chatted, where you were fairly well.
Yes, I'm markedly improved today.
Markedly? Is that like I grew another inch so I can, you know, do another line on the door?
Yeah.
You showed market improvement.
I almost am drinking a nice amaretto right now, but I'm not. Oh. If I was drinking an amaretto right now, I'd be doing even better.
Oh, okay. I'm doing fantastic because yet another week of no Comcast outage.
I can tell you I have not a Comcast outage ever.
is Comcast even in Louisiana?
No.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
There you go. And you're gigatastic, right? Is it the AT&T that you've got?
Yep.
All right. And
maybe your Comcast problems are solved over there.
I hope so. Actually, what I'm hoping, here's a sad thing. So my house is 900 feet from my office. I can get AT&T gigabit at the house. I can't get it at my office.
Mm.
How frustrating is that?
Seems like you maybe should have kept working from your house.
Yeah, no, that ain't happening. I'm glad to be out of the house. All right, so the last time we were on together, we actually ended up taking up the show with all the email. So today I want to make sure that we get to some of the stories that we had meant to get to last time. And let's see. Sorry, I'm just looking at my notes here. Which one do you want to start with?
I've been wanting to mention this.
The HP?
HP Cloud Recovery.
Okay, yeah, let's start with that.
Okay, so have you used it?
I have not.
Okay, so basically I had to get some recovery media for an HP. And they sent me to this link, and the link will be in the show note. So this is the utility. You download it, install it on your computer.
Okay, before you continue, so in lieu of calling them and say, I need the HP disk for this model, and they send you the two disks where one is a OS disk and the other is the HP package of drivers and software and stuff, they no longer will send disks. They send you to this site?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So you save some time. Don't even call it. Just go to this link and run this HP Cloud Recovery.
Oh, it's an EXE file.
Yeah. So you run it. It doesn't really install. It just runs. And let me just see.
It downloaded I clicked it and it dialed a SP package.
Yes. So you run that. I don't think it actually installs anything. Okay. Let me see. I'm going to go through right now. Yeah, maybe. Okay, so you run it.
Yeah.
I don't think it installs. And it's going to say, what is your system?
So, it's going to ask you?
Yeah, it'll talk. No. So it's a dialogue box. Now, if you want to run it for the current your computer you're on, it'll just pull up your serial number and your model. In fact, I ran it just now on my Mac Mini, and it came up and it says serial number. It's got my serial number for that Mac Mini and model name Mac Mini 6,2. So that's actually what I'm on. But so I can't click next because it says model not found.
Right.
So you can click, I need to enter this serial number for my HP system. So you click that. But what you can enter your serial number for your HP. But here's what the nice part about this thing is. The little drop-down menu will list all kinds of HP models, right?
Okay.
So I'm just going to pick ZBook 15U G3. Okay? Click that. Then I get, what operating system do you want? Windows 10 or Windows 7? So you can make a Windows 7 recovery media if for some reason you want to go back to Windows 7.
Okay.
Now, this is also really nice if you want to say, hey, does this computer support Windows 7? Because if you click on one, say, the HP ZBook 15U G4, the drop-down menu only shows Windows 10 because the G4s are 7th gen processors that don't support Windows 7. But you can quickly see, yeah, this is not going to support Windows 7. So if a client says, hey, does my computer support Windows 7? Say, give me the model number. Pull this up. Click it. Say, nope, it's not. But it's a nice way to download and make the recovery media, too, for any of these systems.
So here's my first question. I don't mean to interrupt, but if you put the serial number in, shouldn't this package be able to go out and tell you what the model is?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, because I don't think it's actually talking. It doesn't talk back to any cloud service until you click next. You're telling it serial number, make and model.
Okay.
And what operating system you want. I mean, you could put gobbledygook in the serial number, I think.
Now,
click next.
Now, here's the other question I have.
It didn't work. Invalid serial number.
Okay. Because here's the other thing is this list, the one that you sent me, is only for really the Elite Desk, Pro Book, Pro Desk. So it's not the lower models of HP.
I've got Elite Slice, Elite Books, all kind of Elite Books, Elite Portfolios, Elite Desk, Elite Ones,
right.
Pro Books, Pro Desks, Pro Ones, all the Z workstations.
But I have customers where we purchased just the HP Pro 280, and I don't see that as an option on here.
Well, you know, we don't buy those low-end things, so I wouldn't know. Which,
you don't have price-sensitive customers?
No. We don't have any of those. Which one did you get? HP what?
Well, well, they don't have it. The Pro 280.
Pro 280. It's not Pro Book? It's
no,
just Pro?
It's just Pro, yeah.
Yeah, that...
Actually, it's not even Pro. It says HP 280 G3.
Well, so it might not be for every... I see HP 260.
Right, and it skips over the 380. Okay, I'm not going to worry about it. Let's on with the demonstration.
Yeah, so it might not include every HP model out there, right. But it's got quite a few ZBooks, ZWorkstations, Pro Desk, Pro Books, Elite One, Elite Desk, Elite Books. Got a lot of them. And maybe there's a different cloud recovery utility for different models.
Might
this
be.
Is what they sent me. I guess the model I needed, it was in here. But
okay.
If you got an HP G Pro, here's a Pro Desk 480.
Yeah, the Pro Desk, which I sell, I have no problem with that. I've got a Pro Desk 600, actually, 600 G3 mini tower. So they've got the DM, the MT, the SFF, What's the DM?
Desktop Mini.
Okay. Yeah, Windows 10 64, Windows 7 64. Okay.
Yeah, so if you got it, it came with Windows 10, you want to go back to Windows 7, click on this thing, say you want Windows 7, and you can download the Windows 7 for your system. And it's going to be activated because you put this serial number in.
Right.
So that's nice. And just so you know, anything with G3 and prior is going to be Windows 7. G4 or later is only Windows 10.
Only Windows 10, right. Okay. So then you can move along to the recovery options.
Yeah. And you will need a serial number. So it's not like you can just make recovery media. You're going to have to enter a valid serial number. But then you just download. It's going to create a bootable USB or whatever you want to put it on.
Okay.
So it's nice. You don't have to call them. Client loses it. And really, this is more useful when the hard drive goes out.
Correct.
So you can't do the F11 recovery. You need to reinstall from scratch. And actually, what I ended it for was I needed to go back to Windows 7 on a computer. And
which comes in handy because I know a lot of those systems, you would get the system disk for Windows 10, even though it was a Windows 7 downgrade.
Yeah.
So if the system crashed, you didn't have a Windows 7 media to reinstall.
And that's what I think this was. It was a Windows 7 downgrade, but it came Windows 10. I was like, well, where's my Windows 7? And that's what they said, download this. Right.
Nice. So
at first I was upset. Can't you just send me a disk? It should have came with it. But now I can make disk whenever I want, you know.
Actually, anyway. that's actually good too, because I just delivered a system last week that did not come with disk. I didn't realize it until the very end of the setting. And then I had to head out to the customer. So I told him, I said, well, if you, this system did not come with disk, if you want them, you'll need to make them yourself.
Nothing comes with disk anymore.
No, I still get, the 280 G3s and the ProDesk 400s. Have still come with disk.
Yeah, I guess your low-rent computers are going to come with it.
Okay, ProDesk 400, really? You're going to slam the ProDesk 400.
400? I don't know.
Really? You sell all your clients 600 or above?
Yeah.
Oh, must be nice.
I don't do 400s.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
And let me guess, you only sell them Core i7 with 16 gigs of RAM?
Our standard one is 5 gig, i5, 8 gigs of RAM.
Okay. All right, that's good. Core i5, 8 gigs of RAM.
Yep.
And are you snobby with the SSD drive only?
No, I'll put that in. I like to put that in, but I'll quote it that way. And if they say something, I'll say, well, we can get you a different hard drive that's going to save you a nominal amount of money.
Nominal.
Like, oh, well, okay, I guess we'll just leave it this way.
It's only going to save you $100, so come on.
Well, that's nominal.
Actually, I think the cost difference is $149 for a 500 gig Samsung Evo 860. Do you even put in 500 gig drives, or is it 1 terabyte only?
The one we usually will go with 256.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's plenty nowadays. I mean, we'll, maybe a 512 if we know they need it, but a standard one's going to be just a 256 solid state drive.
Wow. So are you re-imaging those systems when you get them? Because they come standard with 500, so how are you... What are you using to go down to a 256? Or are you just doing a re-image?
We come to the 256, the ones we order.
Oh, you order them that way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they come that way. That's how we order them. But every client's different. I mean, our standard one is going to be 256 solid state drive.
Because I usually order, I have my standard systems that I order. If they want SSD, that's an upsell. And what I'll do is I'll clone the 500 regular SATA to a 500 SSD. And that's how they get their upgrade. 15 minutes with the duplicator.
Yeah. And what do you do with the solid? What do you do with the spinning drive? You just keep that?
I wipe it, and I will either keep it as an emergency spare or sell it on eBay.
Yeah.
I used to put them into some USB external cases and use them for local backup for people that wanted local desktop backups, but I don't have time for that anymore.
So I can tell you here, a client this past week said, hey, look, I just need a basic desktop. Okay. Basic desktop just to run Office, and they're going to be filing. Basically, they're going to look at the Word document, look at the PDF, and just file it.
Yeah.
Into a different folder. Okay. They got a ProDesk 600, 8 gigs of RAM, 256 solid state drive.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our basic 600 G3.
All right. And my last cell was a ProDesk 400 G4. That's one of the Windows 10 systems that I didn't want to sell. 8 gigs of RAM, 500 gig Samsung SSD. A nice little system, 905 I sold it for.
So this one, Core i5, 8 gigs of RAM, 256 solid state drive, $849.
Oh. Oh. So I'm selling my system for more than your. You gave them a. That must be a nice Matt Rainey discount.
Oh, it's not a discount. That's whatever we get from our distributor with our standard markup.
No, nice. All right.
And they wanted two 20-inch monitors.
20?
Yeah, 20.
Do they? 20?
I said, because I quoted with 24-inch monitors, and they said, can we get 20s? I said, yeah, you can get 20s. I said, what is the goal? I said, is the goal to save money? Because, again, I said, that's going to be a nominal savings, if any. And they said, no, we got a small desk.
Oh.
I'm like, okay. I mean, so, the footprint of a 24-inch is not that much big. I mean, it's okay if the monitor hangs over. I mean, what are you going to put them on? How small of a desk, if you're concerned about a small desk, why do you want two monitors?
Yeah. You know, what's funny is the closest I've had to worry about that as the train passes by is I had a front desk where they had the ledge, so they couldn't get a monitor. The monitor had to fit underneath the ledge. So when the, you know, lady was sitting at the desk, her monitors couldn't, like, in order to get the bigger monitors, they would have had to push out in front of that ledge, which would have taken away like 40% of the desk space. So that's the last time I had to buy monitors that small. The monitors, my standard size is 23.
Yeah, that's what we'll do, 23 or 24. I mean, that's a decent size. I don't know, 20 inch.
20. Come on, get a real monitor.
But it's funny when I say, what is the purpose of the 20 inch? Are you trying to save a few bucks? I almost said, I can get, I almost offered the nominal savings on a spinning hard drive. I just don't like spinning hard drives. Here's one. Let me see what this one is. I sold somebody one. Let me see what model this was. It just says HP ProDesk Mini. Oh, here's a 400. I did sell a 400.
Oh, you slanderer.
Okay, but it's a ProDesk 400 G3.
Okay.
i5, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 1 terabyte spinning hard drive. This customer is very price sensitive.
Mm.
So that was $749.
That must have been a real hit to their budget there.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what. This client is so price sensitive, budget conscious, that they couldn't get their printer to work. They didn't want to call us. So I said, this is what would have to happen.
Wait a minute. What kind of printer? Let's start with that. What kind of printer would not work?
Some wireless printer.
Okay. All right.
And I said, well, why are you connecting the printer wirelessly? I said, plug it in with the network connection. It's going to grab an IP. The problem is they have a very bad Linksys access point that constantly disconnects clients and they don't want to get a new access point.
Okay. Okay. So two problems now, but let's
go. And now they want to connect a printer wirelessly to this access point, and she cannot get the printer to join the wireless network. So I said, look, we can come over there and we can try and join an access to the wireless network, or I can bring a switch, a 5-port switch out there, and we can plug it in and not even worry about the wireless, or I can replace your access point. Do you know what they chose to do?
Uh-oh.
Just not use a printer.
They don't need to print.
No, apparently not. Not for that price.
So you know what you need to do is you need to find somebody to go and do recon, because I bet you they went to Staples or Office Depot and found a $99 wireless printer.
Well, they just bought this printer. This was a new printer they bought.
This was new?
Yeah. Oh, the problem definitely is their access point. I told them. The problem is your access point. We've been telling you for a year that the access point needs to be replaced. You constantly call with it disconnecting, turn it off, disconnects people. I mean, it's like, it's one of those old Linksys. What are those WTRG?
You know, the blue one. The 5-4G with the...
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
One of those ridiculous old
things. Do they even make that anymore?
No, they don't make those anymore, but that's what they have.
Wow. I think I threw the last one out like 5 years ago.
Yeah, well, they're still using it. That's why they got a 400.
Oh, my goodness. That's insane.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, did you tell them that, you know, they're limiting themselves in the Wi-Fi speed alone?
Look, they're choosing just not even to print.
So, oh my God, the questions abound.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to work on Wi-Fi. I mean, is that really, like, tell me they're not connecting to a server trying to work on...
They got a
Word files over Wi-Fi.
Well, no, the new computer's on Wi-Fi because they wouldn't run a cable. But they have a SPS 2011.
You should have sold the 600 just to say you need more power to run it wirelessly.
I think I might have sold another 400. Oh, my goodness. There's 400s everywhere.
You better check with your sales staff. They must not know that they're not authorized to sell 400s.
We getting these things? Let me see. I got to find out now because this is only $725 that we quoted.
Wait a minute.
Sure,
why don't
400.
You go back and check all your invoices to make sure they're not all 400s and you've just been claiming 600s?
Oh, no. 600's the 600's the standard. But this is a 400, 400 G3. if we know they're price sensitive, we'll quote them, I guess, the 400, because there's another client that's price sensitive, but I don't like the 725, i5, 8 gigs RAM, 256 solid state hard drive. Quoted them 725.
Hmm.
And they got it. They ordered it because I can see in my dashboard.
You might.
I got a few more 400s than I thought. Just like you have more Windows 10 than you think.
That's true. Yeah, 20 Windows 10s.
Windows 10s?
Yes.
That just sounds funny.
All right. Well, what else you got for us? Let's see. You had, by the way, we haven't stopped to thank our sponsor. I'm going to have to do that at the end of the show. So, you know, we're being sponsored by AppRiver.
I'm glad it's not somebody else.
And we have gotten some great comments and email about AppRiver and people switching over and all of that stuff. But you have a story about another 365 cloud services provider.
Yeah, so quite a few shows back, I talked about ShareWeb.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the three device active sync limit
yes.
by default.
Yes.
And remember I said, oh, there's a note here that says contact us to go to 5.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, you know. So I sent support a ticket saying, look, the device, the limit's set to 3, little question mark. Next to it says contact us to raise limit to 5. I'd like to raise limits to 5 if there's no cost. I said, if there's a cost, what is the cost? Okay. And the support ticket, actually, the subject was raise active sync device limit to 5. I was very clear. It says we can raise the 5, contact us. I said, great. I want to raise limit to 5. They replied back and they said, first of all, do you think there's a cost to raise the active sync limit from 3 to 5? Do you think SureWeb would charge for that?
Well, you know, my gut is telling me yes, but my heart is saying there should not be.
Okay. Well, SureWeb charges to forward emails.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
So, yes, it costs $1.76 per user. To increase the limit. Then it says, we can then increase to whatever you want for each user, but we need to know an estimate of devices that will connect to the mailbox. Now, I've already told him.
Okay, wait. So here's my question. So this isn't something where, hey, I need this user to have a limit of 5. We want to have all users have 5 or more at $1.76 per person per device, or just per person?
I guess per person.
Per month.
Like if Bob needs to go to 5, that's $1.76.
Per
Mary needs to go to 5, that's $1.76.
Per month.
No, one time card.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
You know what? Now you say that. It just says it costs $1.76 per user to increase a limit. I would assume that's a one-time cost.
I think you better double check that.
Well, I replied back. Well, I think I replied back saying, never mind. I just wanted to know if there was a cost to raise to 5. Cancel request. Oh, no, wait. That's not what I said. I think it's probably cancel request. That's all I replied back.
Okay.
And then I got another email from another person. He says, hi, my name is blah, 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 and I am now in charge of your case. Since you don't need the unlimited active send anymore, I will close the case. I never said I needed unlimited active send or sync. Okay. I wanted to know, because their little dashboard says, contact us to raise to 5. It doesn't say contact us to raise the limit. It says contact us to raise to 5. I almost replied back saying, yes, increase Bob to 400 limit. See what they said.
Unlimited.
Unlimited.
So, I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on the fact that somebody took over your case only to say, since you don't need it, I'm going to close the case.
I guess this person can close the case. But they're both level 2. They're both level 2 technical advisors.
You know, I had that happen to me. I'm sorry. Are you finished with
it? Why would it cost $1.70? This is SureWeb. Look, you know what? I'm not happy with them. They nickel and dime everything.
Yes.
$1.76. You know what? We talked about this before, remember, where if you wanted to maybe have another shared mailbox for contacts and they needed a bunch to connect to it. We talked about raising the active sync limit. I mean, look, to be honest, I guess that's better than the other person I used, because Intermedia was going to charge like $200 to do the limit. This is $1.76.
Right.
So it's cheaper, I guess.
You know what? I need to find a user in AppRiver because that has never come up for me. And I know I've got people using more than 5 mobile devices.
Yeah, check. It's probably 10. I mean, Office 365 is 10. Default Exchange on premises is 10.
Right.
So more than likely, it's just a limit of 10. And the problem is nobody has 10, but when they set up.
I've had people I've had people reach the 10 limit.
With active devices?
Yes.
Because what I see a lot is.
I'm sorry. That was on an on-premise Exchange server. I've not actually had that happen in 365.
Normally they get a phone and they get a phone the next year and they get a phone the next year. And over years it creeps up and they hit the limit because they didn't remove the old devices.
Right.
But that's usually what I see. But three is pretty low. I mean, yeah. So right. I never asked for unlimited active sync. And I appreciate him taking charge of my case just to close it.
I'm gonna call my rep Sunshine and ask her about that.
Okay, is that your rep's name?
That's her nickname.
Oh, because I had to create a user, but that was her name.
I think it's Sunshine and Giggles is her full nickname.
Okay, sounds like a very happy person. I had to set a user up that was her real name.
Really, Sunshine?
Yeah.
Real name.
Yeah. That's what they told me. I don't know if her middle name was Giggles. I didn't ask.
Middle name was And. Last name, Giggles. All right. So, okay. So I called LogMeIn today. Because I have one customer that is still using LogMeIn Central. I used to use that years ago. And I would just have all my customers that needed, you know, a remote portal. I would set them up as, you know, a client under my central plan. Mm. Then, of course, they started raising the price. So I quickly started moving people off of it. Then I found SolarWinds, which before was LogicNow, which before was GFI. That's how long I've been with them. So now I do all my remote support through there. But I still have one customer that has a junior on site that uses to log me in. I have 100 seats, cost me, what is it, $39? So $3,500 or $4,000 a year or whatever. And they're on the premium. So they're still going to keep LogMeIn, but I want to drop them down to the plus plan. So they have basic, plus, and premium. The premium, the really only difference that it is that it has some updating features and some stuff that they're never going to use. We do all our updating through the SolarWinds. So all he needs is remote, file transfer, and remote printing or something like that. That's all they need. So I called LogMeIn, and I got a representative pretty quickly. I was excited. And I told him what I wanted. He's like, okay, hang on just a second. I should have known right there. So after about a minute, he comes back and says, so I'm not able to do that for you. Your rep has to do that for you. I said, my rep? He goes, yes. So let me transfer over to the rep. So the rep's not available. I have to leave a voicemail message. Haven't heard back. And I have a feeling I'm going to have to call every day for a week to get them to drop. Because if you go into the control panel for the LogMeIn Central, you can access where your subscription plan is and how much it is. But when you go to change it, the only option to change is to go up. So my bill would go from $34.99 up to like $7,500 for the next level. I don't have an option to change from Premier to Plus or Premier to Basic or even to lower the number. My only option is up.
Yeah, they don't want to lose business.
I'm like, what the hell is that? Un-freaking-believable. So as soon as I can get this customer off, I am done with LogMeIn. I don't care how good their other packages are, their LogMeIn Rescue, their me.com, or whatever crap they're selling now.
So which plan do you have?
I'm on the Premier. It's the highest.
How many do you have?
100.
But you're not using that.
Actually, there are, yes, I am. There's like 82 being used right now for this one client. They have a lot of remote users. So it's $34.99.
And what are you going to put them on, you said?
I'm going to drop them to the Plus, which would take me down to...
Which still would LogMeIn.
I'm sorry?
You're not going to get them off of LogMeIn?
No, because the only other option is for him to use TeamViewer, but he's on version 8 or something. This needs to be something that we manage and not the junior. So they can either... My options are to put him as a user in my SolarWinds panel or to keep him on LogMeIn. I don't want him in my SolarWinds panel because right now there's not a way, like right now I can keep him off of the servers. He's only a desktop tech. So when I set up LogMeIn clients, they're only on the desktops. He has no access to servers. In LogMeIn, I don't know if you know this, but if you have a a location where you've got servers and desktops together, you can't tell or configure a user to not have access to certain stations.
It's got to be different sites.
I would have to create a completely separate site, which I don't want to do.
This is all used for remote access for the users?
Yes, because they have branch offices that are not on the domain. So all those branch offices remote in to terminal servers. But in order to work on the local desktop, I had to provide them with something to do remote access.
Then we'll do a site-to-site VPN and just let them remote in RDP in over that?
So, let me refresh your memory. This is the customer that has the terminal servers where we don't have VPN on the terminal servers.
And not even site-to-site?
So there's no site-to-site, there's no nothing.
And you can't do a site-to-site, like from whatever office here to whatever office
I
here?
I probably could. I mean, obviously I can, because I have Sonic Walls in all the place, so I can set up a site-to-site.
Yeah. Then you wouldn't worry about the mobile user VPN.
Well, but here's the thing, though. They're not on domain. So if they're not on domain, he couldn't access those desktops through that VPN because they wouldn't be connected to DNS. I'd have to do a whole bunch of other stuff. I'd have to connect them. Yeah, I don't want to do all that.
But they're connecting to the desktop on LogMeIn, right?
He is, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen, this is a high maintenance customer with a junior. I'm trying to cause as little friction as possible.
I'm surprised.
Okay. Surprised what?
I don't know.
I don't have watch guards in there.
I'm sure whatever he did is best. I'm just going to say that.
Actually, this is leaps and bounds over what I inherited.
Eesh.
So
I hate inheriting. Inheriting big clients are the worst. Inheriting a small client, not that bad. It's not much usually to change. Inheriting a big client is...
Well, and as they grow, you can recommend changes and say, look, you're growing. Let's do this step. Let's do that. When they're already big...
It's hard to have changes in a big... First of all, they don't want to make changes.
Right.
They don't want to pay for changes. And that's not the way they've always done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I didn't get into that story to have you start critiquing my network setups. I got in there. To share in the misery of dealing with tech support.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
you know, that'll bring me to what I was going to talk about.
Okay.
So my function at work is changing. You know, I do now. I'm in charge of all the techs.
Service manager.
Yeah. But I do a lot of tickets myself. I do tickets all day long as well.
Mm-hmm.
But since I'm so mixed up in doing tickets, it's hard for me to manage the tickets that my techs are doing.
Okay.
I'll assign tickets to them. But for the most part, they operate, you know, with no oversight.
Willy-nilly.
As long as the ticket's completed, it's done.
Okay.
So no, that's going to change.
No big brother watching over them?
Not really. No. Just as long as you do the ticket and close it and we bill it, it's good.
All right. So
that's changing.
Sounds like you drew the short straw.
Well, you can say I drew the short straw when I became service manager. All right. Okay. And other partners, don't worry about it. I worry about it.
So are you like, so you're like the lowest partner on the totem pole?
Well, the other partner started the company. I was hired 17 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and they made me a partner after like 5 years. So, yeah.
To shut you up. All right. Yes. Don't leave. We'll make you a partner.
Yeah. So, but for the next, I don't know how long, 10 years plus, really it was just anarchy. Because the way the tickets got assigned, the receptionist gave a ticket to whoever. The receptionist is not the one who should be dictating what tags get tickets.
Wow. That's a lot of power for a receptionist.
So, you know, talking to my partners, I said, look, this is not working. We cannot have her assigning tickets because the tech's not going to want to give it up because if it's not in his expertise, he may think he has to do it anyway. So anyway, I took over.
So she took the tickets. She assigned the tickets.
And everybody just worried about their own tickets.
And everybody, okay. So she, now was she actually acting as a dispatcher too?
No.
Okay. Would she give preferential treatment on her ticket assignment?
If the person asked for somebody, she'd give them the ticket.
Okay.
So basically she would give a ticket to whoever she knew was at the office.
Okay.
Just because you're at the office doesn't mean you can take a ticket. Anyway. I said, this is not working. I said, so now from I don't know how many years, I'm in charge of the tickets. I decide who gets what ticket.
Okay, because you complained. You have a solution, so you're the service manager.
Yeah, well, I volunteered. I said, like, this needs to happen. We need to have better oversight and better, you know, she can't do it. This is not her job. She just needs to make a ticket. So anyway, I get on, and this has been happening for I don't know how many years. But I'm supposed to go over all their tickets. I don't have time. So the talking with my partners, they told me this in the past, that I should not be doing as many tickets as I do, that I should delegate those out. So I'm going to try, because that's what I'm supposed to do, do less tickets. And I was supposed to give it to them, to the techs, and stay on them, keep them going, and watch. That way, I'm supposed to have more time to go over their work.
Okay.
Okay. And I've not told my techs this yet. Hopefully, they don't listen, I don't think, to this show. But before the show comes out, I would have had the meeting with them, telling them what's going to happen.
Right.
Is that basically we need more communication. I need to know exactly what you're doing, when you're done doing that ticket, what you're doing next. I need to know basically what your plan is for the day. Because if I need to change that plan, I'm going to change the plan. Because really, we just give them a ticket, and when they do it, they do it.
Okay.
Because they still operate willy-nilly. It's just now I give tickets to who I think should do the ticket.
Okay. So I'm stuck on this fact. Your techs listen to the show?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So now here's the other thing. Have the other partners factored in how much a possible drop in billing there would be because you're not doing tickets?
No, I don't know. And there's no way I'm not going to be able to do any tickets. tickets. That's an impossibility, because if they're all assigned doing tickets and someone calls for something that takes 5 minutes, I'm going to do it.
Okay. Is that because there's not a tech that is assigned daily to be the in-house tech?
No, there's not.
Okay.
I have one that I try and keep in-house, but when we're busy and I've got things that need to be done, I'll send them out. Like tomorrow, he'll be gone all day. And my other two techs probably have things to do all day long too. So I can't have clients, especially if it's a 5-10 minute thing, not get a call back for a day for a 5 minute thing. So there's no way I'm not going to do any tickets.
Right.
That's impossible. But I will have to delegate more and keep on them and keep them busy. But here's the thing. Like I was going to critique what you did.
Mm-hmm.
I now, which my techs will love this, I'm going to go behind them and critique everything they do.
Okay, so that should be okay. So no more hanging with Matt, you know, just to chat.
So I started this a few days ago, and the first two that I went behind, I was I said, okay, this is not good. The first two.
Okay. Now, is this something where you will begin to understand why you get some of the phone calls that you get? Is because your texts may be a little lackluster?
Well, okay, so one ticket that I did real quick, it should have been a quick thing. This client called for something. Everybody was, texts were all busy, they were all gone, they were all doing something. I said, you know what, this should take 5 minutes. I'm gonna do it real quick. When I got in, I saw how it was set up and what was going on, and I had to redo a lot of stuff.
Okay.
And I realized this should not have even been a call, because had this been done differently, it would have just worked and they wouldn't have had a call.
Okay.
So that call was generated because something I think should have been done differently than the way it was. Now, the way he did it worked, but then when they needed to do something different, it didn't work. Had it been done the way I told him it should be done, it wouldn't have been a problem. It wouldn't have been a call.
So a system of checks and balances will now have to be in place. So you're going to have to. So right now, let me go back. So nobody actually signs off on the work that a tech does. They don't have paperwork that they sign off that, hey, this was done and it was done according to company standards.
Well, they'll enter their ticket, their time and the time entry in the ticket. But if they say, okay, let's just give an example. Let's say the tech says, install the printer. This guy needs a print. Set up to print to this printer. That's the description. I might see the time entry is installed printer for customer, verified customer could print. That sounds good, right?
It sounds good, yeah.
Okay. It might not be.
So is there a check in to say, you know, a checklist, I guess, where installed printer, you know, set as default, tested black and white, tested color, set up as a shared printer if needed. I mean, is that the type of stuff you're talking about where stuff is just missed, or?
It's not that. So in this particular instance, this was a field user. So his computer is not joined to the domain because he's in the office a few days a year, or maybe a few days every few months.
Okay.
So he's not joined to the domain. He comes in, he calls, hey, I need to print to this printer. Okay. The way the printer was installed was installing the network printer, but authenticating with a domain user account, because that's their exchange server is in-house, so they have a domain account. authenticating to the printer on the network with your domain credentials to map the printer as a network printer.
For a computer that's not on the domain.
Yes. That should have been installed as an IP printer, not a network printer.
Okay. All right. I can see that as
a... listed in the ticket.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing where if he's gone for more than 3 months and he comes back, well, that mapping may not be remembered, or because of password policy, his password may have changed. Now he's not going to be able to print when he comes back. If it was an IP printer, it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have been a call.
Right. So the tech did not do enough discovery to realize it was a non-domain station.
Oh, he knew. He knew it was a non-domain. That's why he mapped it with the domain credentials. But okay. That's the kind of thing where I'm going to have to check and say, look, in this case, when they're not joined to the domain, we want to do an IP printer because we don't want them to have to authenticate just to print.
Right.
You know, I went behind and found somebody called because they couldn't access the network drive. Well, I look in the server and I'm saying, well, I don't see a group policy to map this network drive. So I called the tech on the phone. I said, hey, how's this printer map? How's this network drive map? Well, I just mapped it when they need it. You mapped it like inside of Windows? He says, yeah, it'll remember it. Well, it's not. So then I said, okay, I'm just going to go put it in group policy. And then I walk in the group policy and I see a lot of drive mapping group policies. Instead of one map drive policy, I see a bunch of them.
Like one for each user?
Tell them I'm more for one user.
Wow.
So I had to fix all that because you can do a group policy, one map drive, and just do targeting, right?
Yep.
Do targeting in the one group policy, not create multiple group policies.
Right. Target or update or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did but then I see some of the network drives paths had misspelled URLs. So those aren't even working. So maybe he had to map it inside of Windows because he didn't realize he misspelled the URL in the group policy.
Maybe, yeah, it didn't work. And rather than go back and find out why it did not work, I'll just do this because it's quicker.
Yeah.
I can get out, go do something else.
I'm having to go back. I'll be going over a lot of their... I found a lot of clients in the dashboard that had the agent to be installed using group policy. Now, that's probably a good thing you would say, right? It's not. I'll tell you, it's not.
Because the agent that they have is what, 3 years old?
9 point something.
Yeah.
So I'm not, I had to tell them, look, it's fine if we're doing a new client, do the group policy, install it. That way we don't touch every computer. But after they're installed, remove the group policy because we are not going to log into 100 different servers and copy the new client every time a new client's released.
Right.
So I had to log into 100 servers or more and remove the group policy because it was overriding the new, because then we would install it in the shop when we're prepping the computers.
Right.
And then when they bring it out, it would wipe it out. It would overwrite it and put version 9 because that's what group policy said to put. So I'm going to the dashboard and I see a lot of computers with version 9. 9 point whatever. I'm like, oh. So I had to log into, you know, let me see how many. Let me see how many sites I have. I don't know how many sites I have.
I don't think there's a way to count. You either have to.
That's nice. All right. Let me estimate. 1, 2. I'm going to estimate 100. 100 sites. I had to log into all these, go to group policy, remove the group policy so that they would be able to not overwrite. And then all these sites when you have version 9, it won't auto-update to 10.7.
Correct.
You've got to go tell it to update.
And a lot of times that doesn't work. The auto-update doesn't work with certain versions.
It doesn't. No. So I'm having to go, I'm monitoring all those to make sure they all go. But it's stuff like that, and I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to tell them, look, I'm going to be asking you how you did this. I know you got your notes. I'm going to be asking you how you did it. I'm going to go log in and check. I might start calling the customers and asking them how they felt about the service they got. I said, but this is what's going to happen. So, And I'm going to need a daily, here's your tickets. I want to see updates on the ticket every day. I want to, because if you call them and they don't call you back, I want you to call them again the next day. Don't wait 5 days to call them. I know you called them and you said waiting for the call back, but you need to call them back again. And they're not going to be happy with it because it is a change.
Right.
But
now, is your SolarWinds connected to a PSA?
Oh, God. A couple clients. I don't like that either.
No?
No.
Are you using the one from SolarWinds or are you connected to a different one?
ConnectWise.
Oh, the ConnectWise family.
I don't like it because another thing I'm doing, I'm going through the dashboard and deleting all kind of checks we don't need. I mean, there's a lot of different things that I'm finding, right? I'm finding computers that haven't checked in 700 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I go look up the serial number and that's checked in 20 minutes ago. So what happened? We probably wiped the computer, reloaded Windows for some reason, and it never got moved from the dashboard.
Right.
So I have to remind them, if you're going to wipe a computer, remove from the dashboard, and then when you add it back in, it's going to be, I don't want duplicates in the dashboard.
So isn't there that setting where if a client is uninstalled, it'll automatically remove from the dashboard?
Yes, that's if they uninstall it from the workstation.
If they just wipe it. So there's the two options, agent reinstallation. So automatically delete workstations from dashboard if agent is reinstalled, or automatically delete workstations from dashboard if agent is not uploading data. And you can tell it like 90 days or whatever.
Yeah. So I don't like doing that though, because I have some clients, that's a global setting, right?
Yes.
Not for site.
That's global.
Okay. I don't like to do that because we have ClimCom clients who might not check in for 400 days.
You're right.
And the client will call on me and say, hey, where's this computer at? And they give me a certain number. I check it. I say, look, it hasn't checked in 400 days. And they're like, okay, well, it was probably left at a job site. We had to go find it. And they know to go look for it. If I delete it, I'm not going to have any record of it.
Correct. And I've done that. I don't delete them also because we'll have customers where, say they have an empty desk and they may leave it empty for a while, or they may take the computer and set it. It's going to become a spare or something like that. So yeah, you want to keep them in inventory. Like for instance, I've got an email ready to go out to a junior because I've got 3 computers at his office that haven't checked in over 30 days. So I've got those set up to email him to say, hey, what's up with these computers? Because he'll be somebody that if we send them a new computer, he'll take the old computer and set it in his office and it'll sit there not doing anything.
Yeah, see, this one hasn't checked in 873 days.
Get out of here. Okay, 800? That's a little excessive.
And this is, I used to delete them out of here, but then I realized, you know what? It doesn't hurt me to keep it in there. So,
as long as they're paying for it, right?
Yeah, they're paying for it. So, if the client calls me and say, hey, where's this computer this guy had? I can say, look, you know what? It's in the dashboard, hasn't checked in 873 days. And they'll know, okay, well, and this is a Surface Pro. Surface Pro 3. You know what? This might have been one where it was actually wiped and reloaded.
Because the longest system I have is 102 days, And the only reason it's still there is because that station is actually here at my office, waiting to be reassigned within that company.
I had one-on-one match, so it's not a duplicate. So it actually has only been in there once. Oh, this is just a longer from that client. Let me check all clients. I probably have somebody longer.
Oh, get out.
I got 877 days from another client. And I'm sure this is not in service anymore because this is a Windows XP machine. See, I'm sure this is one of the ones where I didn't get removed where it should have been. I've got a few that are 800 plus.
Wow. Two plus years.
Yeah. I've got a whole bunch at 700, whole bunch at 600 plus.
And you're billing these customers per machine in the dashboard, right? Whether they're active or not.
Yep. Because they're supposed to tell us if they take a computer service.
And so obviously your customers are not saying, hey, how come we're paying for 50 computers, but there's only 30 of us here?
Well, so if they asked me that, I would send them an inventory and say, here's what we have in the dashboard. Let us know which ones aren't valid. And I could say this, and I would say this, these checked in, but we haven't been notified that these are removed. But again, some of that could be us not removing it.
Right.
Which is what, now I'm not going to go through all these computers and see what's not, but I'm going forward into your mind text. If you're going to, because if you just wipe it, it just doesn't check in anymore.
Now, are the techs able to log into the dashboard and work on this stuff? So it should be their So if they work on a machine, that should be part of their checklist to go into the dashboard and make sure the inventory is updated.
Yep. Man. But this kind of thing, I'm about to go behind them and remind them.
Man, they are gonna hate you.
Oh yeah, they're not gonna be happy about it at all. Because like I said, a couple of days ago when I found two different, and then I found some settings in a watch guard which I didn't like, so I had to fix that. And I asked the techs about them, and like, why are you asking me this? I said, well, we just need to get it done. But I'm gonna have to have a meeting with them and sit them down and tell them this is what's gonna change, this is what's gonna happen.
Man.
And they're not gonna be happy. If you've been operating, you know, willy nilly with no oversight for years, you're not gonna all of a sudden want as much scrutiny as I'm gonna be giving them on every ticket.
And you're not going to be their pal anymore. You're not going to be their buddy.
Well, you know what? I have my own office now. And,
man, you done sold out, man. You were cool, man. What happened to you?
Like, I'm the only one in the company with their own office because the other two partners share an office, which is a big office. And then the other two techs are in an office. Another tech's out in the bench area with another tech. And I'm the only one with my own office. So you know what? I don't need any buddy time. You know, I don't think they're going to be mad at me. If anything, maybe they'll step their game up.
No, they're not. They're going to, you know what they're going to miss? They're going to miss old Matt. They're going to miss old bald Matt. You know, you went out and you got fit, you got hair, you got scruff all over the, and this new Matt, I ain't liking it. I ain't digging it, man.
Hey, I don't go to many clients' offices lately.
Yeah.
But I had a client that I've known for 15 plus years, and she had a problem. I said, like, you know what? I'll go to your house. I said, what time? She said, how about 9:30 tomorrow morning? I said, okay, I'll be there at 9:30 tomorrow morning. So I told her I'm going. She knows it's me. I get over there. I said, hey, you know, I say hi, go in, you know, we're talking. And after about 10 minutes, you know, I'm working on a problem. We're talking. You know what she asked me?
So, who are you?
Close. She says, are you related to Matt?
All right, well, that's not so bad.
And I'm thinking, am I related to Matt? I'm like, I don't know what to say. I was like, because there is another Matt Rainey in the town that I live in. What are the odds?
Really?
Yes. And I've met him. And he's a little bit younger than me. And I'm thinking, am I related to the other Matt Rainey? And I just said, I'm Matt. She's like, oh my God, I did not recognize you. I thought you were like a cousin or I knew you weren't one of the brothers because the brothers don't live around here. She goes, I did not recognize you. She goes, you need to come to the office so my husband can see you.
Wow.
Because he's not going to believe it.
Well, that's
I've
good.
I've had quite a few customers that didn't know who I was. Not even friends. People I haven't even seen in a while. Friends have not recognized me.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty big transformation.
Yeah, I forget. So it's 100 pounds.
It's 100 pounds and hair.
And hair and a beard.
Yeah. Come on. Really?
The most successful business owners I know are people who enjoy what they're doing. Whatever their thing is, they love it. And here's what they don't love. When they have to stop doing what makes them money to handle something that doesn't. That's especially true when it comes to email, and that's one reason why AppRiver shines. AppRiver keeps your inbox free from spam and viruses, so you don't have to worry about all that junk cluttering up your day. If you're running your own email servers, protect them with AppRiver. And if you're tired of that headache, just sign up for Hosted Exchange or Office 365 and get your mail from the cloud. Here's the best part. Call AppRiver anytime, night or day, and you'll talk to a real, live, U.S.-based company employee. Someone who's trained to take care of your business and let you get back to doing what you love. Visit appriver.com/podnutspro today and try any of their services free for 30 days. That's appriver.com/podnutspro.
Yeah, I could, like, I'm on the run or something.
You're in witness protection, is what you're.
That was fine. Are you related to Matt?
Wow. That's a lot better than what I get. I can't tell you what happens to me sometimes.
I have people who might recognize me, but don't say anything. And they'll ask my wife, like, if I'm a friend, they're friends, not clients. Well, clients actually will ask the receptionist.
Right.
When I walk away. But friends will ask my wife, is he okay? Is he sick?
You know what? I can see that. I can see people really asking that, because what other reason? Well, I mean, there's two reasons that people would go through
my butt off for 14 months.
You're right. For that much weight loss. And I told you need to mix in a steak. I think you're too small.
No.
Like a runway model. Come on. You're going to blow off the stage, man.
In fact, a good friend of mine, and I'm friends with his brother. The brother's out of town. He came in. We all go out together when he comes in. And we go out to eat. And we're sitting there talking. And my friend who lives here told his brother, hey, didn't you notice Matt lost weight? And he says, oh, I didn't want to say anything. I was going to ask later on if he was okay. He was another one. Like, yeah, I'm all good. Thank you.
Mm. Wow. That's
it's
like
funny when clients don't recognize me.
Yeah.
Which can be an advantage, right?
It could be. Yeah.
I could do things and then say, I don't know who that guy is. That guy's crazy. That's the new guy we hired.
That's true. Wait a minute. What? He looks like that. He doesn't work for us.
One guy recognized. I talked to him on the phone all the time. He came in. He said, I did not know who you were until you opened your mouth. And when you talked, your voice, I just knew it had to be you.
Wow. And you guys don't have uniforms either, do you?
No, we have not uniforms. We let the techs pick out whatever polo shirts they want, and we put the company logo on it.
Okay, all right. So like I do,
so
yeah.
So it's got the logo. Yeah, we let them pick their shirt out of the catalog. And so we don't have the same shirt, same color. But right now, I don't even have any company logo shirts because I've had to buy new clothes so many times that I didn't bother. The only thing I have is a t-shirt. One t-shirt that we had in stock. So I wear that on Fridays, but that's it.
That's a small.
No, it's not a small. That's small. You sound like my wife. She wants me to wear smalls. I'm like, I'm not a kid. So one time, this is totally off subject. It was so funny, though. We went shopping, and she says, here, try this on. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is a small. Are you kidding me? I said, fine. I put it on, and to me, it was like tight. She goes, oh, it looks good. I'm like, are you insane? I'm not wearing this in public.
Oh, my goodness.
But it fits. I'm like, it does not fit. I think I'm wearing Saran wrap.
So here's a question. Have you ever been in a store and you're looking and browsing and trying to find stuff and you look up and realize you're no longer in the men's section?
That has not happened to me. Are you speaking from experience here?
Because I'm like, how did I get, why does this clothing look so tiny?
Why does it look like so good? I just want to put this on. Did you say that?
No, didn't say that.
Is mad at me because I put on her pants and they fit me.
Stop it.
And then, I don't want them to hear me. They're out there. I tried on my 19-year-old daughter's pants and they fit me.
Stop.
They were pretty mad.
Why are you even trying that?
Because they told me, you could probably fit in my clothes. And I said, no, I can't fit in your clothes. And I'm like, oh, you're right, I can.
So, okay.
Their jeans. It was their jeans.
Okay, and they don't listen to the show ever?
No.
Okay. Because my wife does. And so hopefully my wife never meets your wife because she'll tell her. But here's what you should do. Take pictures. And then just like for Christmas morning, buy them frames and put pictures of you in their clothes.
Well, I said, hey, this is good to know. If my clothes are ever dirty, it's good to know I can just grab one of your jeans. She's not happy. She goes, they fit better on you than me.
Oh, man. That ain't right.
No, that's what she says. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't work this hard to gain more weight. I'm staying where I am.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we are way off track.
Yeah, so I'm about to update you on the next show how this critiquing and ticket oversight goes. But
yes.
I don't expect it to go over well.
Yes, how the inmates might stage a coup.
I'm really kind of looking forward to it, but not really. I mean, because what I've seen so far, I'm like, this is not the way we should be doing this. It's almost like if you go into another company, take over, and you find all kind of stuff that, not necessarily wrong, it's just not the way you do it.
Right, right.
Some of it's wrong, but some of it is just not the way you would do it.
Right. And
some stuff I've seen is wrong. Some stuff is just, I want it done a different way because I think it's more efficient. I think it's easier for someone to go behind to see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Drive mapping should be in group policy. They shouldn't just be done in Windows and hope that they stick. You know,
well, you know, login scripts work just as well.
I don't like login scripts. Login scripts is so server 03.
It's so 1990s.
It is. It's not good. Group policy is so much nicer. And that's one thing. I've gone back and found some places still using login scripts, and I just changed them all to group policy and got rid of the script. So this is kind of annoying because you got to go take the script out the user profile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I've done it because they shouldn't be that way.
Well, the upgrade that I did a few weeks last month is login script based. And it's, I don't know how many people were there. I think it was 70 or 80 people in that firm, two locations. And he actually had several users where, let's see, there were groups of people that needed access to a specific server. So they were doing World Docs and they had a separate drive for that. And so when we were going to do this stuff, he had a Fort Lauderdale office and a West Palm office. And then he had groups for World Docs and groups for the old time Matter server or something. I forget what it was. And I said, okay, well, do you need to change the mappings for all that stuff? No. So instead of creating login scripts for each group, the drive mappings were manual for the additional drive letters that they needed. So he had to remember who needed the extra drive letter so he could go and map those drives. And I thought, why not just if you're just do another group policy? And I do
group policy, put them in a group. Members of this group mapped as drive.
Right. Well, actually, I was thinking login script. I wasn't even thinking of group policy for him because he didn't use them. I just would just make another login script for those users.
Okay, so add it and then change the login script to profile users.
Correct. I think it was like 6 people. You know. So I'm like, okay, we'll just create a new login script for those 6 people. And
yeah, see, one reason I don't like that is because if you add a new user, okay, which login script does he get? But if you get a new user and he needs access to this specific drive, you add him to that group. Now he's, because a group, the folder or drive should be set to permissions for that group.
Right.
Now, if you're added to that group, you're just going to get the drive letter too.
Yeah.
You don't have to go manually edit all these settings. And that's one thing that I found sometimes clients will call and, hey, I don't have the drive. I don't have the network drives. So I go look. Well, that's because they're using drive mappings and the login script wasn't put in their user profile because they were on SPS03. Mm-hmm. Now they've migrated. And now when you create a user account, you don't get the automatic script in your account.
Yep.
So unless you remember to go put it in there, it's not going to be in there, which is one reason I don't. So when I see that, again, that should have been checked, right? I mean, really, I think the tech should have made sure that the user was set up, and that includes making sure the drive letters are there.
Correct. That, yes, that should be on a checklist of when you set up a domain user, you know, drive mappings are checked, printers are checked, access
and
to...
And you can't just look to make sure the drive letters are there. I mean, oh, yeah, there's some map.
No, you got to click them.
What if the F drive was a local USB drive and the F drive was the data drive? You got to make sure the right drives are mm-hmm. mapped. So you may have to change the drive letter of an internal DVD drive or something. But I think I've got everyone off of drive scripting. I think I've got on group policy.
Right. Yeah. And you just can't, you know, and again, it's a preference for most things. Because you can't tell them that they're wrong because, you know, this was the way it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And it still works, you know, doing login scripts still works.
But see, I can tell my tech that it's wrong.
Well, it's wrong for you.
Because I don't want to see them. Because I don't want to get a call that they don't have the drive letters. Because you forgot to put the script in when you created the account.
So here's
if you had drive mappings, group policy, they would have the drives.
Right. So now here's the question. That comes in as a new call, new ticket, right? But you have to treat that as a non-billable item, right?
Not having the drive letter?
Yeah. I mean, if a tech was supposed to do something on site or when they did something, and you get a call back and you go in and check and realize, oh, this wasn't done right. That's non-billable, right?
Sure.
Sure, if you're in a bizarro rainy world. But in the real Matt Rainey world, everything's billable.
Okay, so if it's our mistake, I don't bill for it.
Okay.
But if it's not... Yes, like all the times I've changed it over drive mappings from scripts to group policy, I don't bill for it. I make a ticket for it to note it,
right?
But I don't bill for it. Yes, the group policy, like the one who called because he couldn't see the drive letter because it wasn't a correct group drive mapping, that's not bill for it. Yeah, I don't bill for our mistake.
Okay, that's I just wanted to check.
But if I do anything else while I'm fixing our mistake, then yes.
And it's all billable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, let's say I spend 20 minutes fixing a mistake and 20 minutes doing something new. That's 40 minutes, which should be minimum hour. I do only charge a minimum half hour because I subtract the time it took to fix our mistake.
Okay. Good man. Good man. Well, see, you're not an ogre.
No, I'm fair.
You'll be a good manager.
And some clients who are on service agreements, doesn't matter. They don't get billed anyway. So, but the clients who actually get a bill for work, I'll round down. I review all their time entries. If I see someone has a time entry for 1 hour and 2 minutes, you know, it's going to be billed in an hour and a half. I subtract 0.02 and bill them at 1 hour. I mean, I'll round down a lot because some of that might have been, you know, if you're an hour and 4 minutes, I'm going to just give you credit for that 4 minutes. Instead of billing an hour and a half, you'll be billing an hour.
Okay, good man. That's what I do most of the time. But I only bill once I get above, let's say, mine are 0.2 minimum for remote, 0.5 for most things, and then 1 hour for on-site. And most of the things, I will actually only do 0.1 increments above an hour.
Oh, you sound like a lawyer.
That's right, because that's who my clients are. They understand that. Now, if I remember correctly, you do portal-to-portal billing, right?
Yep.
Okay. I just implemented where it is portal to end of appointment. So I will bill them from the time I leave my office to the time I'm done with them. So once I leave their office and I'm in my car to head back or to head to another client, the clock stops.
Yeah, and that's one reason why on-site ticket, I'll tend to round down because I do a kind of account for that. But technically, it's billed. But that's if we're going from our office back to our office. It's rarely the case. Rarely we go from one client, then we leave that client, go to another client. You know, that's also why I tend to round down on on-site visits.
Okay. All right.
Sometimes I round up. Sometimes I see a ticket that I know took an hour, and they've got a half an hour on. I'm like, nope, sorry, I'm upping that time to 1 hour because that's not charged enough. That's so rare. But
so here's the thing. I've been, for the last year or so I've gone to some flat rate billing for certain items. So if I do a hard drive transfer, that's just an automatic 1 hour, no matter how long it takes me. So even if I am duplicating, you know, upgrading somebody to a new drive, I throw it in the duplicator, takes 10 minutes, 20 minutes or whatever, that's an hour.
Yeah.
When I do a desktop install for my customers that are on a monthly plan, I do a flat rate for them. So regardless of how much time it is. So have you been doing any of the flat billings like that? Because when you mentioned that this job should have taken an hour, but they only had 0.5, so it's automatically an hour.
I mean, I look at the description. A lot of times they'll say, you know, update Windows, you know, remove malware, do this, do this, do this. I'm like, there's no way you did this in a half an hour.
Right.
It's impossible. I'll do it now. I mean, the only thing standard, we prep computers, that's the standard hour.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that before.
That's really only the standard charge, an hour. Everything else is just kind of time. Sometimes, and this should be called the texture catch this. Sometimes I'll see a ticket that says install printer and it's like 19 hours. I'm like, there must have been some printer install. But that's because they'll do like 1 a.m. to 6 p.m. Like, okay, well, obviously you just got your time mixed up. This should have been maybe 4 to 4:30 and right. Not 19 hours, but they miss it. So,
wow.
Yeah, but I have to examine every ticket to make sure the time looks right, make sure it's fair. But now I'll be going into the content of what they did and what they did and how they did it. And if they did it up to MAT standards?
That's impossible.
You know what? It probably is.
Impossible.
Wouldn't it be nice if they were all trained to do things that match standards and every ticket I checked was like, that's exactly what I would do. That'd be it. I mean, I could just sit on my hammock on my patio all day long and just read the tickets as they come through.
That's not a chance.
I can dream.
You can. You can force them all to use the informed IT forms as well.
That's one thing. Yeah, I need to document. They sometimes document in their head. And I'm like, no. Yeah, that's not going to help anyone, especially you, because you're not going to remember correctly. I've called text and I said, hey, what is this? Because I know they worked on it. Oh, I think it was this. No, I don't know what you think.
So
what is this? Because I found the entry in a router. And I was like, what is this entry for? Well, I think it was this person to do that. You think? You don't know?
So using the approved set of forms from informed IT is not mandatory at your place?
Not yet. But I think with all these changes, I might have to make it because the system, we've had a system in place before informed IT.
Mm-hmm.
But I made these because these are better. But again, small changes.
Baby steps?
Yeah, I'll use them, but I didn't force other people to use them. But now that I'm enforcing my standards, this is probably going to have to change.
Some things have got to change.
All right. But like I saw one entry in a router. I saw one entry in a router, and this is where it should be. There was the entry set up with nothing. It was from any external to this internal IP, and the policy name was just RDP. I'm like, well, first of all, we shouldn't have this. This should have been a VPN. So who do I need to contact to let them know that they didn't connect with the VPN? He's like, well, I don't know who that was. I think it was for this person. So well, first of all, there's two entries, identical entries. So why do we have it twice? So I deleted one. And then, but what should have happened is it should have been, the policy should have been named RDP-user's name.
Right.
Instead of doing the internal IP address, it should have been alias, like Mary's computer. To know that this is for Mary's computer using by this person. That way I would know, you just by looking at the policy, I would know, oh, this is Mary. Mary's uses for RDP to Mary's computer.
Right.
But it was just an IP internal IP address with the generic name. That's not how it should be. Of course, now it should be VPN. But even before, it should have been labeled. But again, that ticket probably said, set up remote access for Mary. And the ticket said, set up remote access for Mary and test it.
Yes, tested and working.
It worked. But you think about the person going behind you. That's what we need to do. Think about the person going behind you. How would they be able to know who this is for if it's not labeled and documented correctly?
Right. Absolutely. A nice policy that I'd like to do, because even if it's not for your own tech to follow behind you or your own company to follow behind you, I like the idea of a company coming in behind me and saying, oh, this is done very nicely, documented very well.
Yep. Yeah, I can't rely on text memory when he's on vacation. I don't want to bug him on vacation.
Right.
You know, and I don't want to spend unnecessary time doing more discovery. That's taking up the client's time and taking up my time, when if it was done differently and labeled, it might take 5 minutes. If I've got to rediscover the problem, it could take an hour or more.
Right.
We need to be more efficient. If I'm not doing the tickets, we need to be more efficient. We're more efficient that's one of the things we have to do.
All right, my friend. Well, I wish you the best success with your employees over the next few weeks.
If you want me to come behind you and critique some of your work, I'll be happy to do that as well.
Hey, if you want to fly out here on your dime and...
Yeah, I'm sure it'll go good. It won't bother me at all. It might make their life a little worse.
Yeah, well, only for a little while, because, you know, it won't take that long to right the ship.
I'm hoping. Well, that's the hope.
No, we can all hope. And with that, we're going to hope that you all enjoyed this show, because once again, we have given you a humdinger of a show. Just kind of sitting around, chatting, talking stories. So a little bit of a break from our heavy-duty, vendor-driven interview shows. What do you think?
It's good. I like the different stuff. I like the vendor shows. I get to learn stuff that I might not have been exposed to. I like all the variety.
All right. Good.
Personally.
See if you say that after the Sonic Wall show.
I know I give them a hard time, but yeah, I'm sure they got a good product.
Hey, it's worked for me for 20 years.
Just not the mobile VPN part.
You know, I don't have those sophisticated customers that you do, you know, Pro Desk 600s.
And all the secure remote access. you and your secure remote access from your 600s.
You know, what's funny is most of the time, I mean, it is strange that I haven't done as much, because most of the remotes have been from office to office. So you just do the, the secure VPN tunnel between the offices. They don't need remote access from home, so I've not had to do a bunch.
Yeah.
So, the president says, I don't want them working from home. So that works for me.
There you go.
But times...
So many clients that want to work from out of the office. That's ridiculous.
Yep, times they are changing. These attorneys, it'll be fun. All right, so... let's end off this show here, Matt. I want to thank you again for another great show. Quick bit of housekeeping. Let's see, what announcements do I need to make sure we do? I do need to probably have some people remember to head over to podnuts.com and support the shows, support our sponsors. If you look over at the Podnuts page, you'll see that we've got some new sponsors on there. And some affiliates, so be sure to click on those links. You're going to see Malwarebytes TechBench in there. Actually, you know what? We need to talk about them soon. So we got Malwarebytes. Let's see who else is on here. You can always do the supporting of Podnuts by going to the Patreon and supporting your shows. And who else is in here? Why is the sponsor page empty?
Yeah, and it is being redone.
I don't know.
Sponsors of the Podnuts Network. Oh,
something must have been done over there.
So. Must be in a rewrite.
Yeah. Coming soon. All right. Sorry about that door. all right. And let's see. We still are going to have the link to the Calyptics PDF documents, the report on their Russian cyber attacks, as well as the option for you to get your own customized marketing PDF to send out to your customers. And remember, that will come with your name, your phone number, and logo. If you go over to calyptics.com/podnuts and fill out the form there and submit that. If you would like to provide us with questions, comments, suggestions for future shows, send us an email. You can send to me at marvin@podnuts.com. And even though Mr. Matt Rainey is not always in the show, you can email him as well, matt@podnuts.com. Or if you want to send it to the show in totality, send it to podnutspro@podnuts.com. And as always, we thank you for subscribing and downloading the show. Be looking for some more great shows coming up, including Sonic Wall. I think we're going to have an actual security series coming up this summer. I don't want to jinx that anymore. But I think we're going to have a couple of really great guests that you're not going to believe we ever got to come on the show. So be looking forward to that. Matt, any last words?
I don't mention it often, but if you want to go get the forms.
The informed IT.
Yeah, informedit.net. It's to document, you know, all your network, your routers, your, you know, go check it out, informedit.net. There's a place on there to download a sample form so you can see what they're like. Mm-hmm. I think I have the router form. And if you want to buy them, use promo code PODNUTS, and you get 25% off, I think it is. Yeah, 25% off.
All right. informedit.net. And folks, I've gotten those forms. They are great. If you need a set of forms to get started, what better place to go than the website of Mr. Matt Rainey?
Yeah, if you go to About the Forms, down there it says try out one of the forms for free, and you can click and download it.
Okay. All right, folks. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Once again, we thank you. We'll be looking out for you next time. And until then, holla.